You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CyberWire's Research Saturday. I'm Dave Bittner, and this is our weekly conversation with researchers and analysts tracking down threats and vulnerabilities and solving some of the hard problems of protecting ourselves in a rapidly evolving cyberspace. Thanks for joining us. And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI.
So it actually came about when we were doing research for a blog that we published previous to this. We were looking at other Kani activity, which is a different malware family that is believed to be used by the group.
That's Jen Miller Osborne. She's Deputy Director of Threat Intelligence at Palo Alto Networks Unit 42.
And while the researchers were looking at that, they came across what looked to be a related, pretty similar malware, but one that hadn't been written up or published anywhere that we had seen. And we decided to call it Noki, which is basically reversing the N's and the I's because they were so similar. And that's what then led us into the other blog where we found the dog call and the other new tool that was being used to deliver dog call.
Take us through what did you discover when you started digging into these?
So we initially discovered quite a bit of code overlap between Kani and the new Noki, and a lot of TTPs also overlapped what was typically seen with the Reaper group. And then when we found the newer malware family, we still found some overlap. We did not find quite as much as we did between Noki and Kani, which is why the title of the second piece was Almost Ties the Knot, because we couldn't find enough data points to officially say that this is all Reaper. There is the possibility that there's another group that's operating in the region or that looks similar that's also potentially using some of these tools. And so there is still some ambiguity on our side, and we've been trying to talk with some other researchers following this to see if we can nail that down a little bit better for if it's all one group or maybe more than one group, but some of the TTPs and maybe some of the tools are similar. That's something that we're still looking at.
And who is the Reaper group generally believed to be?
So other organizations have reported on Reaper, and they typically attribute it to North Korea.
I see. So take us through what goes on here. What does this rat attempt to do? Why don't we start with Noki?
Noki was used with some spear phishing that we saw that were delivering lures that were typically politically motivated themes, usually centering around targets for Russian or Cambodian-speaking individuals or organizations. And that was the typical spear phishing that you see that people talk about all the time. There was nothing super advanced about what they did. It was kind of typical spear phishing with malware that's intended to trick people into installing the malware on their system. And then once it's there, it starts to trying to figure out where it is within the network and kind of what sorts of data they might be able to exfil or where they might be able to access within the network. It's kind of a typical sort of first stage beachhead that you'll see with a lot of attacks, where that initial malware foothold to then move on to work on the final objectives, whether that's espionage related or maybe just kind of waiting and collecting data. We don't have final visibility into what they were doing. What we do have, and from the theme of the words, makes it seem like this is probably espionage related. There was no real indication that this was just primarily finance motivated.
I see. So let's move on to Dog Call and describe what's going on there and then the similarities between that and Noki.
So Dog Call is one that's been previously reported on and tied with Reaper, as far as we know, that we've seen it in other blogs as well. So the interesting tie that we found here was we also found a previously unreported malware family while we were researching this, which was being used to actually deploy Dog Call. It was more of, not quite, a little more fully featured than a dropper, but kind of similar to that. The name is based on a string in the malware, so it's not particularly reading friendly. It's roughly final ST spy is kind of what it looks like. So we found these in a cluster. We found all of this activity when we were researching it within a cluster using Noki. There were some attacks that took place in early July, and they used malicious macros, which is something that a number of groups have gone back to exploiting. This used to be really popular several years ago, and just mostly this year, we're seeing a lot of other groups, both criminal and espionage related, that are getting back into using malicious macros. And what has to happen there is the user has to actually click on a button to allow the payload to run. An error will come up saying that, you know, you need to enable macros in your the Word decoy or within the Excel, and the user has to actually click that button enabled to get the malware to run. And unfortunately, a lot of the lures are crafted in such a way that they look legitimate. So people do, even though it seems kind of out of character in this day and age for people to still go take that extra step, it's relatively common that they will. And then once they're there, they're kind of a bit off to the races. Now the malware is installed in the system, the actors can start moving towards their final objectives.
Now, there were some specific lures that you found within these here. One of them was from ESPN.
There were two in here. One was on the World Cup, a World Cup predictions kind of file. There was one that was relatively simple. It just contained the phrase, "I miss you," with simply the U. And there was another one that they was also one they had taken from online, similar to the World Cup, that was discussing a visit by the North Korean leader to Singapore.
I see.
And yes, and the World Cup article, sorry, was found that was taken from ESPN.
I see. So once the execution of the malware begins, what happens next? I guess what I'm getting at is when the World Cup doc runs, it downloads the VBS script file?
Yes. So it will then download, once it's executed, the macros has been enabled, it will download a VBS script file. And that contains the same deobfuscation routine that we had seen previously with Dog Call. And the file that it writes is what will end up being used by the new malware family that we discovered, that's then being used to download the final Dog Call. It's basically the first stage on the system, but it's the malware that's being installed.
I see.
The final file.
So this new malware that you've discovered, this is the final one, ST Spy. Is that what we're discussing?
Yes, this is the ST Spy. It's in an odd space because Dog Call is the malware that's finally dropped onto the system. And what the final ST Spy is doing, it's essentially the dropper in the middle. So when a user opens the doc, it runs the macro, then there's a VBS script call that goes out looking for this dropper, the final STS spy malware, which is something that hadn't been seen before. We hadn't seen this dropper being used in the middle between the malicious macro and then finally delivering Dog Call at the end. So this ends up being, it's a little more fully featured than some droppers, although we're seeing that more and more where there's more droppers that can do some basic recon on a system to kind of get the idea of where they might be within a network. But the final goal of this is to then, it still needs to bring down more fully featured malware that's actually capable of executing a lot more commands and things the actors would like to do. So that's why it then brings down Dog Call. Dog Call is actually a more fully featured Trojan that can do a lot more actions than the dropper can.
And are there some specific circumstances that it looks for before it downloads dog call? Is that correct?
Yes. So not only is there a specific routine to obfuscate strings, which is one of the ways we're able to characterize this particular dropper, it looks for a particular file within Windows on the target, a particular DLL. And if that is present, then the malware will load other DLLs, and it's going to try to look for to call a specific function. If for whatever reason the initial DLL that it's looking for is not there, then it will default to looking for a secondary DLL. Basically, it's looking for the difference between a 32 or 64-bit Windows operating system. Mm. And depending on which one it finds, then depends on how it will continue to execute. Because it how it's going to infect either one will vary slightly depending on whether it's the 64 or 32-bit.
I see. So take me through, what are some of the capabilities of dog call?
So when dog call is on the system, it has a number of functionalities or actions that it can do. It can take screenshots. It can do key logging. It can also record microphone data, collect victim information from the system. It can collect files of interest. It can also download and execute additional payloads. It primarily uses third-party hosting for C2s, primarily things centered around cloud services such as Dropbox, pCloud, Yandex Cloud, and as well as Box itself.
Hmm. Now, do you have any sense in terms of who they're trying to target with this? Is there any indications on that?
The targets seem to be in line with what you would expect from any companies located within the kind of EMEA region. A lot of the targets tend to center around the military and defense industries. Within Korea, different Middle Eastern organizations that are doing business with either North or South Korea in some cases. So that the targeting for the most part has been kept to that sort of companies involved in that region, whether for business or government purposes.
Now, in terms of being detected by antivirus and so forth, where do we stand with that?
It varies based on the variant. The actors do make efforts to keep this with lower AV detection, and that's actually something we see relatively often. It's much more similar for an actor to change a couple of things within a weaponized Word document, say, to lower its detection versus actually coming up with a new family or coming up with an entire new variant to a family. So quite often we'll see some smaller changes made to the decoys themselves versus newer variants. Although between the recent research we've done, we've definitely shown that whoever is behind these attacks, whether it's one group, whether it's more than one group, maybe whether perhaps even there's a tool dev that maybe shares things among different groups that they do, they are actively still working to increase the effectiveness of their tools and also how many tools they have. We'd found a secondary malware family between the one blog, then we found a new dropper that hadn't been seen before, and we found some of the interesting code and obfuscation overlaps between all of them. So the group is definitely working to improve their success rates, not just by having good lures and decoys that actually look like something their targets would probably be interested in and want to read and want to open. They're putting the time in as well to improve their tools so that once they're actually in an environment, they can try to accomplish their objectives. With all of these tools, it can be somewhat fuzzy, and it's still a bit unclear to us how they all relate together from a wider who is behind all of them perspective. So to be careful for people that are looking at this, to not just lump them all into being one group. We noted there were ties with Reaper. However, they aren't strong enough that we would say definitively all of these things are one-to-one just to Reaper. So just for people that are interested in that, to keep that in mind, and also that if there's anyone that might have other data on this or that would like to collaborate with the team, we are always more than happy to talk to other researchers.
Our thanks to Jen Miller-Osborne from Palo Alto Networks Unit 42 for joining us. The research is titled Noki Almost Ties the Knot with Dog Call. Reaper Group uses new malware to deploy RAT. We'll have a link in the show notes. And now a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the darknet, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire. The CyberWire Research Saturday is proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of Data Tribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. Our amazing CyberWire team is Elliot Peltzman, Puru Prakash, Stefan Vaziri, Kelsey Bond, Tim Nodar, Joe Kerrigan, Carol Terrio, Ben Yellen, Nick Vilecki, Gina Johnson, Bennett Moe, Chris Russell, John Petrick, Jennifer Iben, Rick Howard, Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.